I'm Haley Williams of the Buffalo Buttes, and you're listening to The Experience Hockey Talk.
Brought to you by Tillakill in Frederick, Maryland. The Tillakill Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, comes at a Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more on Tillakill Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And today is April 26. I am frustrated. Dixon, you know why. Dixon, you know why?
Yes, I do.
You are horrible at this timing stuff. It's just horrible. Horrible. Haley, I need you back now. Please. I don't know how much longer I can deal with this. It's only the second episode with you. And no, Dixon is not the reason why I'm frustrated. I am frustrated because, well, the NHL yesterday decided that they're going to have game one of the second round start tomorrow, when game seven of the first round is going on. And for me as a podcaster who has to schedule everything and try to make sure it works for Haley and work for Dixon, complicated. That's why Haley's not on tonight, because I had to change the schedule on us on the top of a hat, and it's frustrating. So we have the episode today. We're going to break down the Caps series, break down the Blackhawks series, because those series have ended in time for us to cover on here. We are going to go for the news and notes throughout the rest of the playoffs as well. We got some NWHL news. And then we are going to preview the Eastern Conference today. Then on Thursday, we're going to be back. We're going to wrap up the first round officially, as Nashville and Anaheim are playing Game 7 tomorrow night. And then we'll, I guess, do a news and notes thing on the Tampa Islanders game that is going to be played tomorrow. I know it's going to confuse people. And then we're going to do our Western Conference preview Thursday as well. And of course, everyone who is actually quote unquote listening to us on YouTube, thank you for sticking with us for this tough time. Obviously, Tor Radio is still down at this time. I'm able to still post the links of the episodes up there, but you just can't get them because the site's still down. So thank you for going to YouTube and listening to the show. I know that the fact that you have to watch a video, just it's appreciated that people are still listening to the show right now. And yeah. Dixon, do you think I've mumbled on long enough?
Not enough.
All right. If I haven't done enough yet, then let's just go right into Game 5 of the Caps and Flyers on April 22nd. All right. So the Caps versus the Flyers, Game 5, April 22nd. The lineup for the Caps was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Mike Richards and Marcus Johansson, Daniel Winnick with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson. Your defense pairings with Carl Alzer and Matt Niskanen, Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Dmitry Orlov with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby in net. And going into the first period, it was a very penalty-filled first period. Within 10 seconds into the game, Braden Shen and TJ Oshie both got 5-minute majors for fighting. Then at 1:08, Justin Williams got a double minor for high sticking. At 5:45, Radko Gudas was called for cross-checking. At 12:05, Justin Williams was called for goalie interference. And at 17:33, Jason Chimera and Nick Schultz were both called for roughing. At the end of the first period, the Flyers and the Caps are tied at 0 apiece. Shots are 14-6 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were even at 10 apiece. Hits were 11-5 in favor of the Caps. And on the power play, the Flyers were 0-3 and the Caps were 0-1. This was an okay period for the Caps. They need to remain disciplined throughout the rest of the game and not retaliate to anything after whistles. Also, the Caps need to do better with their passing and creating scoring opportunities. Going into the second period, Marcus Johansson would be called for roughing at 2:46. Then Shane Gostisbehere would be called for holding at 3:41. Justin Williams would be called for high sticking at 5:49 to get the hat trick of penalties. And then at 7:52, Ryan White would score his first of the playoffs from Sam Gagner and Mark Streit off of a fluky bounce off of Taylor Chorney's skate. And at the end of the first period, Philly would be up 1-0. Shots are 30-8 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 23-22 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 23-15 in favor of the Caps. And on the power play, the Flyers were 0-5 and the Caps were 0-2. The second half of this period, the Capitals were flying and the Flyers looked as if they were playing not to lose once they got their lucky goal. The Caps have to stay out of the box and keep forcing the play in the Flyers zone. Also, the Capitals need to take better quality shots on net as well. It is about quality, not about quantity. And then going into the third period, Jason Chimera was called for boarding at 6:51. Then Ryan White was called for interference at 9:40. And then at 19:29, Chris Van de Velde would score his first of the playoffs, and assisted by Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, which would be an empty net goal. The Flyers would go on to win 2-0. Shots were 44-11 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 38-34 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 35-17 in favor of the Caps. The Flyers were 0-6, and the Caps were 0-3 on the power play. Overall, this was a very dominating game for the Caps, especially if you look at it in respects to shots. But the thing is that it's great that they got 44 shots and they kept the Flyers down to 11. But that one little bounce cost the Caps the game. And the fact that the Caps were not getting quality shots on Michael Neuwirth, that is a key factor as well. And then looking at the news and notes for April 22nd, Mikko Koivu scored 4:55 in overtime to give the Minnesota Wild a series-extending 5-4 win against the Dallas Stars in Game 5 of the Western Conference first round at American Airlines Center. Koivu redirected a Ryan Suter wrist shot from the left point for his second goal of the game. He scored the tying goal with 3:09 remaining in the third period. Minnesota trails the best-of-seven series 3-2 with Game 6 at XL Energy Center, which was this past Sunday. 2 weeks after making his NHL debut, Alan Quinn gave the New York Islanders a huge Stanley Cup playoff victory. Quinn or Queen, I don't know how they properly pronounce his name, scored a power play goal at 16-minute mark of the second overtime, and the Islanders defeated the Florida Panthers 2-1 in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference first round at BB&T Center on Friday. New York leads the best-of-seven series 3-2. Game 6 will be at Barclays Center this past Sunday when the Islanders can win a playoff series for the first time since 1993. And I'm just want to throw this out there. Scott, if you're listening, thanks for being a good sport for just letting yourself out of the house, because I just wanted to go to bed after that game ended. And I'm pretty sure Scott wanted to go to bed at that point too. So, yeah. Thanks for being a good sport, Scott. And then Jonas Donskoy scored twice, including the tie-breaking goal at 3:58 into the third period, and the San Jose Sharks eliminated the Los Angeles Kings from the Stanley Cup playoffs with a 6-3 win in Game 5 of the Western Conference first round at Staples Center. San Jose won the best-of-seven series 4-1 and will play either the Anaheim Ducks or Nashville Predators in the Western Conference second round. And with that, we are going to move on to April 23rd and move it over to you, Dixon, for Chicago versus St. Louis, Game 6.
Okay, April 23rd, Chicago Blackhawks versus St. Louis Blues. Your lineups were Andrew Shaw, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Artemi Panarin, Artem Anisimov, Tivo Teravainen, Andrew Ladd, Marcus Kruger, Marian Hossa, Richard Ponick, Andrew Desjardins, Dale Weiss, and defensive pairings, Duncan Keith, David Runblad, Eric Gustafson, Brent Seabrook, Nicholas Homerson, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk, and Corey Crawford in net. Your first Chicago goal, 347 by Andrew Ladd from Marcus Kruger. St. Louis goal, 618 from Scotty Upshaw from Steve Ott. 851, St. Louis goal, Alex Pietrangelo from Troy Brower and Paul Stastny. And then at the 11-minute mark, you had a St. Louis goal from Vladimir Tarasenko from Yuri Laterra and Jaden Swartz. Your first period stats were shots 11-9 from by St. Louis, 15-14 in favor of St. Louis. Both teams were even on the power play with no power play attempts and 9-6 in favor of St. Louis on the faceoff wins. Second period, you have a St. Louis penalty at 2:54 from Kyle Brodziak, and then Chicago scored a power play goal at 4:13 from Artem Anisimov, for Marian Hossa, and Artemi Panarin. Chicago goal, 12:21, Trevor Van Riemsdyk from Jonathan Taves and Richard Ponick. 16:18, Chicago goal from Dale Weiss and from Artemi Panarin. And at 17:59, you have a Chicago penalty for Trevor Van Riemsdyk for holding. Second period stats were shots. Six shots for St. Louis to 19 by Chicago. 14 hits to 13 in favor of St. Louis. Power play attempts, you had St. Louis win 0-1 and Chicago 1-1. Faceoff win, so 14-11 in favor of St. Louis. In the third period, you have a St. Louis penalty at 15-10 by Joe Bomeister for hooking. Chicago had a power play goal at 16:53 from Andrew Shaw, the assisted by Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves. A Chicago empty net goal at 17:40 from Marian Hosso, assisted by Andrew Ladd. And at 18:12, you had a St. Louis penalty by Robert Bortuzzo for tripping. And then third period stats, shots were 28 for the game for St. Louis and 36 by Chicago. Hits go 39-38 in favor of St. Louis. Power play, there were no power play attempts by St. Louis, and Chicago went 1-for-1 in the third, making them 2-for-2 in the game, and faceoff wins go 12-8 in favor of Chicago. Your NHL news and notes from April 23rd. The Pittsburgh Penguins kept history from repeating themselves. A second period surge gave the Penguins a 6-3 Game 5 win against the New York Rangers that ended their first Eastern Conference first-round series at Consol Energy Center on Saturday. After losing to New York in each of the past two Stanley Cup playoffs, the Penguins won three straight games to eliminate the Rangers 4-1. Sammy Vatanen scored the game-winning goal early in the third period, and Frederick Anderson made 26 saves to help the Anaheim Ducks to a 5-2 victory against the Nashville Predators in Game 5 of their Western Conference first round at Honda Center on Saturday. It was the first game won by the home team in the series. David Panarin, Ryan Garbutt, Cam Fowler, and Ryan Kessler scored for the Ducks, who have won three in a row and lead the best of seven series 3-2. Game 6 is at Bridgestone Arena on Monday.
And with that, we are going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be doing Caps Flyers Game 6, Blackhawks St. Louis Game 7, and of course the NHL news and notes for the 24th, the 25th, and also today, because there was some news today and there's no point in holding on to it until Thursday. So when we come back, we'll have more for you. Looking for hockey cards to build your collection, or that specific card you would like to have to get signed by your favorite player? Then I recommend Just Hockey Cards out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Donald takes good care of me when I'm looking to build my collection, and he'll help you too. For inquiries, reach out to Donald at blake4av@aol.com. That's blake4av@aol.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans. Mike and Dixon here, and we are brought to you by Awesome Con. Awesome Con, which is June 3rd through 5th at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, Riddle, Kevin Smith, Peter Capaldi, John Barrowman, and the list goes on and on and on. Oh, and by the way, they announced Ron Perlman today. Oh, yeah. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com. And getting right back into the action, we got Game 6, which is April 24th, the Capitals at the Philadelphia Flyers. I am going to do a pre-warning to you all right now. I had a game at 1:45. This game was on at 12 o'clock. So Caps are on at 12. My game is at 1:45, meaning I'm not going to see the entire game. But I got to the Sportsplex early so I can catch as much as I could. And as soon as my game ended, I just bolted right to the TV at the Sportsplex. So, with that said, lines for the Washington Capitals was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Justin Williams, Jason Schmier with Mike Richards and Marcus Johansson, Daniel Winnick with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson. Defense was Carl Alster, Matt Niskanen, and Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Mike Weber, Dmitry Orlov, and Braden Holtby in the net. In the first period, it was all penalties on the Flyers. Claude Drew was called for hooking at 13:18. Then at 18:13, Wayne Simmonds was called for slashing. Then at 19:03, Andrew McDonald was called for high sticking. At the end of the first, the Caps and the Flyers were still tied at 0. Shots were 12-5 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 9-8 in favor of the Flyers. Hits were 17-10 in favor of the Flyers. The Caps were 0-for-1 on the power play, and the Flyers did not have one. However, the Caps had have a 5-on-3 in progress going into the second period. This was a good period for the Caps, but while they outshot the Flyers 12-5, they did not get enough traffic in front of Michael Neuwirth. The Caps did do a good job on drawing penalties and start the second period with a 5-on-3 power play. Then going into the second period, Nicholas Backstrom was called for a phantom double minor for high sticking at 4:25. Way to go, Chris Van Velde, for smacking your own guy in the face and getting Nicholas Backstrom called for that penalty. And then Matt Niskanen would be called for hooking at 4:30. Ryan White would then be called for holding at 6:55. And then at 8:59, Nicholas Backstrom scored his second of the season from Marcus Johansson and Alex Ovechkin, their fifth and second of the season, or the postseason, respectively. And that was a beautiful passing play to get the goal. At the end of the first period, the Caps would be up 1-0 over the Flyers. Shots were 23-15 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 21-19 in favor of the Flyers. Hits were 29-24 in favor of the Flyers. And on the power play, the Caps were 0-for-4 and the Flyers were 0-for-3. This was a good second period for the Caps after a horrible double minor was called on Backstrom. After Ryan White got hit in the face by his own teammate Stick, the Caps were able to kill the double minor and take the momentum to get the lone goal of the period. A great play at that to get the goal as well. And then going into the third period, Sam Gagner was called for hooking at 1:23. I only saw the last 5 minutes of the period, so bear with me. The Caps won the game 1-0. Shots were 29-26 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 35-24 in favor of the Flyers. Hits were 38-32 in favor of the Flyers. The power play was 0-for-5 for the Caps and 0-for-3 for the Flyers. And as I noted, I only saw the last 5 minutes. The Caps did a good job to keep the Flyers to the outside and took away the Flyers' scoring opportunities. Would have been better if the Caps kept the play in the Flyers' zone to end the game instead. But we got the win and ended the series in 6 games. And then going into NHL news and notes for the 24th. For 40 minutes, the Dallas Stars appeared poised to coast into the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs with an easy Game 6 win against the Minnesota Wild. Then the third period happened. Dallas scored 3 goals in the first period, but had to survive a 4-goal third period by Minnesota in a last-minute video reveal of what could have been the tying goals to earn a series-clinching 5-4 win in the Western Conference first round at XL Energy Center. Dallas won the best-of-seven series 4-2. The Stars will play the winner of the St. Louis Blues and Chicago Blackhawks series in the second round. The Blues and Blackhawks play Game 7 in St. Louis yesterday. New York Islanders captain John Tavares came up big when it mattered most for a franchise starting for a winner. Tavares scored his second goal of the game, 10:41, into the second overtime to give the Islanders a series-clinching 2-1 victory against the Florida Panthers in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference first round and their first playoff series victory since 1993. Tavares took a wrist shot low in the right circle that was initially stopped by Roberto Luongo, but he picked up the rebound and curled the net before scoring his fifth of the playoffs. The Islanders had lost their past 8 playoff series. The Islanders will play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the second round. The last time the Islanders and Lightning faced each other in the playoffs was in 2004 Eastern Conference first round. The Lightning won the series in five games on the way to winning their only Stanley Cup. And then Vincent LeCavalier is standing by his word. After 17 seasons in the NHL, the Los Angeles Kings center will retire. LeCavalier has said repeatedly that the 2015-16 season would be his last and made the formal announcement at Kings practice facility on Sunday. LeCavalier, who is 36, spent 14 seasons with the Tampa Bay Lightning serving as a captain on two occasions and helped them win the Stanley Cup in 2004. He won the Rocket Richard Trophy as the league's top goal scorer in 2007 with 52, and the King Clancy Trophy the following year, honoring him for his contributions to growing the game of hockey in the Tampa area. He signed with the Philadelphia Flyers prior to the 2013-14 season and played in Philadelphia until being traded to Los Angeles on January 8th, along with Luke Shen. And with that, I turn it over to Dixon, who goes over April 25th, which was Game 7 between the Blackhawks and the Blues.
Okay, excuse me.
You're not excused, you failure. Go on.
Anyways, Chicago versus St. Louis, Game 7. Chicago lines were Richard Panik, Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Artemi Panarin, Artem Anisimov, and Teuvo Teravainen.
Teravainen. Go on.
Andrew Ladd, Marcus Kruger, Marian Hossa. You had Andrew Desjardins, Andrew Shaw, and Dale Weiss. Your defensive pairings were Eric Gustafsson, Brent Seabrook, Nicholas Hammerstein.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk. You had Duncan Keith with David Brunbland, Eric Gustafsson with Brent Seabrook, Trevor Van Riemsdyk with Nicholas Hammerstein, and Corey Crawford in net. Continue, please.
Thank you. Sorry, I completely skipped one. That is my fault.
I'll make sure to pat you on the head at work tomorrow.
Okay, and your first goal came at the 1 minute mark. St. Louis scored Yuri Lehterä from Joe Bouwmeester and Jaden Schwartz. 13:43, St. Louis goal by Colton Parayko. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Assisted by Alexander Steen and Patrick Bergeland. And at 18:30, at a Chicago goal for Marian Hossa from Richard Panik. Your first period team stats were shots in favor of Chicago 11-9. St. Louis had 20 hits to Chicago 7. Both teams did not have a power play, and faceoff wins go 11-10 in favor of St. Louis. Second period for St. Louis, you had a penalty at 2:49 from Kevin Shattenkirk for hooking, and Chicago had a power play goal at the 3:20 mark. Goal scored by Andrew Shaw from Jonathan Toews and Duncan Keith. Second period team stats go shots 13-12, overall 24-21 in favor of Chicago, who had 9 hits to Chicago's 8. That means 29 total through the second for St. Louis to Chicago's 15. Chicago is 1-for-1 on the power play to St. Louis, which has not had a power play attempt yet. And then 14-7 for 24-18 for faceoff wins. Third period, you have a Chicago penalty at the 2:56 mark, from David Rundblad for slashing, and 8:31 St. Louis goal by Troy Brouwer from Robbie Fabry and Paul Stastny, and at 9:55 a Chicago penalty by Richard Panik for interference. Shots go 33-26 in the third period. You have 4 hits for Chicago to St. Louis's 5. 0-for-0 on the power play for Chicago, and 0-for-2 for St. Louis in the third. Faceoffs go 8 for Chicago and 12 to St. Louis. Your news and notes from April 25th. The Nashville Predators defeated the Anaheim Ducks 3-1 in Game 6 of their Western Conference first-round series at Bridgestone Arena on Monday to force the first Game 7 in their history. Matthias Ekholm, I hope I pronounced that correctly, James Neal and Shea Weber scored for Nashville, which got 26 saves from Pekka Rinne. The best-of-seven series is tied 3-3. Game 7 will be at Honda Center on Wednesday.
And now you know why I'm frustrated, because Game 7's tomorrow, but Game 1's also tomorrow. What gives? Crap. And, of course, we have news for today, April 26th. Philadelphia Flyers forward Brandon Shen has been suspended for his first three games of the 2016-17 NHL regular season for charging Washington Capitals forward TJ Oshie during Game 6 of the team's first-round series in Philadelphia on Sunday, April 24th. The National Hockey League's Department of Player Safety announced today the incident occurred at 14:24 of the second period. And in NWHL news, Jillian Dempsey has signed a contract with the Boston Pride for the 2016-17 season. General Manager Haley Moore announced today. Dempsey and the Pride agreed the terms on a one-year $13,000 contract. Dempsey played in all 18 regular season games with the Pride, where she contributed 14 points, 7 goals, 7 assists. In the playoffs, Dempsey added another 5 points, 2 goals, and 3 assists in 4 games played. The New York Riveters and Connecticut Whale, the National Women's Hockey League, have traded the rights to their 2015 NWHL draft second-round picks in the first trade of the 2016-17 season. Haley Scarupa, who is with Boston College, was selected fifth overall by the Riveters, while Michelle Picard, who plays at Harvard, was chosen sixth overall by the Whale. Scarupa, a forward, finished her final NCAA season with 244 points, 35 goals, 44 assists, and 144 games. That math doesn't add up. Hold on here. This is a straight copy and paste from the NWHL email that I got, because I get the press emails. It legitimately says, finished her final NCAA season with 244 points, 35 goals, and 44 assists in 144 games. Give me one second. I'm pulling up my calculator right now on my phone. Calculator. 35 plus 44 equals 79 points. She had 79 points in 144 games. Picard scored 53 points, 8 goals, and 45 assists in 128 games as a defenseman across her college career. I'm going to check this one too, just to be on the safe side. Yep, that was 53 points. Scarupa and Picard may continue any contract negotiations already in progress with their new club.
What it sounds like to me is the NWHL screwed up, and they meant to say in her NCAA career for 144 games. That to me would make a whole lot more sense, because...
Well, no. They said Picard scored 53 points. Well, finished her final NCAA season. How do you play 144 games in your final NCAA season?
That's what I was getting to. You don't. I think in the college season, it's about no more than 30 games. I'm taking a guess at. So I would assume it's 144 games across across her entire NCAA career.
Yeah.
That would make more sense.
That does make more sense. I'm not going to continue to bash the NWHL on this, because I know they have bigger things to deal with than one massive typed up, messed up line in their press release. So I'm just going to get out of that, move into our next document, which is our next segment, which will be right after the break right here. Ever interested in meeting your favorite athletes or celebrities, or looking for that right memorabilia for your collection? Then come to the CSA Shows in Chantilly, Virginia. For more information, go to csashows.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And Mike and Dixon here, and we are brought to you by Maryland Championship Wrestling, which on Friday, May 13th at the MCW Arena in Joppa, Maryland, Global Force Wrestling, led by Jeff Jarrett, takes on Maryland Championship Maryland Championship Wrestling and their superstars for Collision Course. Also Friday, May 6th, Evolve will be holding a show at the MCW Arena as well. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit MarylandWrestling.com. Please note that for Evolve, you must buy it through Evolve, and for MCW versus Global Force Wrestling, you can do that for the MarylandWrestling.com website. And long day. Haley, we miss you. I want you back so I can get rid of Dixon. I mean, I love you, Dixon. I want to drink a two-liter Dr. Pepper to drown my sorrows. Dixon, why don't you go over the Eastern Conference second round preview, the Islanders and the Lightning, since they start tomorrow?
Yes. We have the New York Islanders versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Tampa Bay Lightning are in the Eastern Conference second round for the second straight season, and the third time in the past six. The New York Islanders have not been in the second round since advancing to the Wales Conference Final in 1993. They lost seven straight first-round series before defeating the Florida Panthers in six games to advance to face the Lightning. Despite the fact that the Lightning fell two victories short of winning the Stanley Cup last spring and were second in the Atlantic Division in 2015-16, there is little that separates them from the Islanders, who were the first wild card. New York from the Metropolitan Division had three more points than Tampa Bay and knocked off Atlantic champion Florida, winning each of the final two games in the second overtime. These teams have met one other time in the postseason, and it worked out very well for Tampa Bay. In 2004, the Lightning defeated the Islanders in five games in the first round and used that victory as the springboard for a march all the way to the only Stanley Cup championship in their team history.
And for predictions, we don't have Haley's just yet, so we're going to hold off on her. When she gives it to us, we will post it up on either Twitter, Facebook, or on the episode on Thursday. Whenever it happens, it'll happen. I choose Tampa Bay in six. I think the anonymous cheetah that I keep seeing on the Google Doc will get punched in the face, which has nothing to do with the game or the series whatsoever. I'm just stating that because I keep seeing it bounce up and down on my screen, on my tablet. I know it's you, Dixon. I know it's you. But I think Tampa in six, because these guys, they have a good role going for them. They beat Detroit in five games. They have the experience to get to the finals. Obviously, a key factor for them is that they're not going to have Anton Strahlman, Steven Stamkos, and JT Brown, at least for the beginning part of this series. But they have the experience to get past the Islanders and get into the Eastern Conference Finals. So I'm picking Tampa in six based on experience alone. But at the same time, what effect of not having Strahlman, JT Brown, and Steven Stamkos will have on Tampa Bay is yet to be seen in this round against I guess you could say, younger New York Islanders team.
And then for me, I have Tampa Bay in six, just based off of the experience alone. Granted, yes, they are missing some of their key players, but as you said, Michael, they're going against a younger, kind of inexperienced Islanders team, but Tampa Bay has shown that they can get past and move on in the playoffs.
Yep. And then, like we said, Haley's pick will be put up probably out soon when we get it from her. And then our second series, which will start Thursday at 8 p.m. Holy crap, that's late. for us, at least. You have the Pittsburgh Penguins versus the Washington Capitals. The Washington Capitals and Pittsburgh Penguins aren't interested in their regular season history or the recent past as they prepare to meet in the Eastern Conference second round. The rest of the hockey world is far more excited, remembering the epic seven-game series, the only other time Crosby and Ovechkin faced off in the Stanley Cup playoffs in the second round in 2009. The Penguins won the series in 7 games. Crosby and Ovechkin each had a hat trick in game 2. Ovechkin had 8 goals and 14 points in the series. Crosby had 8 goals and 13 points in that series as well. Pittsburgh advanced and eventually won the Stanley Cup, defeating the Detroit Red Wings in 7 games. I am one fan who is not very excited for this series. I am more scared for this series. I'll explain why later. The Penguins, who advanced to the second round after defeating the New York Rangers in 5 games, won 3 of 5 games against the Capitals during the regular season. Ovechkin had no points. Crosby had a goal and 3 assists. And Haley's pick will come later. I am going to let Dixon go first with his pick.
I have the Caps in 7. This series scares me because there is that history between Pittsburgh and the Caps. It's like you said in beginning, Mike, they had an epic seven game series in 2009. And yes, the Penguins did win on going to win that series to win the Stanley Cup that season. This series just scares me. But I think that with tough defense on the side of the Caps, I feel that they can win, and if they just keep going and not make any stupid plays, get stupid penalties, they can go on and win this series.
I'm also going Caps in 7 just because it is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is definitely one of the hottest teams going on right now. Obviously, big questions for the Penguins right now is when will they cool off? It is known that Marc-Andre Fleury will most likely not play this series because he's still experiencing concussion-like symptoms, which is going to keep him out. But also, when you look at Pittsburgh, if you can control Malkin, if you control Crosby, if you can control Kunitz and Hornquist and Letang, what else does Pittsburgh have? On defense, they have Letang. And then Trevor Daley? And then... yeah, exactly. And then on offense, like I said, you got Crosby, you got Malkin, you got Hornquist, you got Kunitz, and you got Carl Hagelin. And that's about it. You got one and two thirds lines in Pittsburgh. But the key thing is that eventually they're not going to be able to stay hot forever. But the other thing is that, like in the notes, it says the Penguins won 3 of 5 games against the Capitals during the regular season. Well, let's take a look at that in perspective. The 2 games that the Caps won, they won one early in the season when Pittsburgh was playing like crap. The second win was their first game under Coach Mike Sullivan. So they were in the transition phase. The next 3 games, the Penguins won 2 of them when the Capitals had nothing to play for because they clinched everything. You know, they clinched the playoffs, they clinched the President's Trophy, the division. They had nothing to play for. So the thing that scares me is that while Pittsburgh is hot right now, what we saw in the regular season is very misleading because, obviously, like I just said, both Caps wins were against a very bad Penguins team. But at the same time, 2 of the 3 Penguin wins, or maybe even all 3 Penguin wins, were against a team that had nothing to play for, because they clinched everything. So that is the real thing. When we go into game 1 on Thursday, what are we actually going to see? Because that's something that nobody knows. For all we know, the Capitals can come out and just annihilate the Penguins. But on the same token, the Penguins can do the exact same to the Washington Capitals. And that's what scares me. And then, of course, you got to think about the health on the Caps end for defense, Brooks Orpik. What type of shape is he in? Is he going to be able to, even if he misses the first two games of the series, you know, will he be able to make an impact on defense? So you got a lot of questions in regards to Brooks Orpik too in that sense. But, I mean, if you look at them on paper, the Capitals, hands down, are the better team. Hands down. They got depth in scoring, depth in defense. Braden Holtby is a lot better goaltender than both Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray. I mean, you know how to beat Marc-Andre Fleury. There's a reason his nickname is Happy Feet. So, it will be very, very interesting to see, but I still got the Caps in seven. If the Caps could win it in fewer, I would love that. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to happen that way. I think it will be in seven. And I'm going to throw this out there right now, and we'll do this on Thursday. We'll do keys to the series for the Caps and Pens. I think the biggest key is to hit Crosby and hit Crosby often, because Crosby hates getting hit. And so does Letang and so does Malkin. So get those guys whining and taking penalties for being unsportsmanlike. That would probably be the best way to go for the Caps. But at the same time, they just can't be gunning for hits like they were in the Flyers series. So, yeah. Dixon, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You guys can find me at Kendrick_67. That is 6-7. And on Facebook at Ed Kendrick.
I'm going to stalk you on Facebook. Oh, wait, I'm already friends with you on Facebook. Never mind. And then for the show, you can follow the show on Twitter at Experience Hockey, which we actually do have a Twitter poll going on right now, which will actually expire around 11:45 tonight, I believe, where you get to pick on which Western Conference team we're going to cover in the second round. You can choose between St. Louis, Dallas, San Jose, or the winner of the Anaheim-Nashville series. Any of you pick San Jose or Anaheim, I'm going to hate you so freaking much. Because there's no way either of us are going to be able to stay up for those series, because all of the games are going to be at freaking 10 o'clock at night. I hate you. So pick either St. Louis or Dallas. I'm telling you right now, it'll make my life easier. Make Dixon's life easier. Because if I can't do it, he has to. Ain't that right, Dixon?
Yes.
And we both work at the same place, too. Keep that in mind. So we both have 9-to-5 job at the same place. But yeah, go to Twitter, go to @ExperienceHockey, pick who you want us to cover in the second round, being how the Blackhawks are now out. I know Haley's crying right now because the Blackhawks are out and she may have to cover a different team that she may not like. Sorry, Haley, we all have to deal with it. I don't want to be covering the Penguins, but I have to now. And then also there's Facebook, where you go to facebook.com/experiencehockeytalk, and then also on Facebook for facebook.com/x75productions, because I'm not going to give you my personal Facebook page like Dixon over here does. So with that, this has been the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans. I'm Michael Lindebaum. He's Dixon Kendrick. You heard Haley Williams with the opening plug at the beginning of the show. And we are brought to you by the Tilda Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tilda Kilt Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilda Kilt girls. For more on Tilda Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And until Thursday, when we come back to review the Game 7 between Anaheim and Nashville and Game 1 between Tampa and the Islanders, and then preview the Western Conference second round and the Caps-Penguins series a little bit more in depth, we will see you on the ice.